Okay.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we're joined by CompTheTech. CompTheTech is a blockchain solutions company, and they have developed new blockchain platforms that basically companies can bootstrap functionality on a blockchain network. And in this presentation today, CompTheTech is going to show us their blockchain for logistics. And so I'm going to pass it on to you, Greg, or Tomas, to take it from here. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much again. Thank you for inviting us. We are excited we can share our point of view on blockchain technology and practical utilization as a blockchain marketplace. Today, we are going to specifically focus on our case study with company Chemcore. And I'm also delighted we can invite as our guest speaker, Callisto, who is the chief commercial officer of Chemcore. And we're going to show you the some of our demos, some of the practical suites and platform infrastructure platform we have. And in the end of the presentation, we hope it's going to be an interesting conversation and questions. So this is very brief intro from my side. Now I will pass it to Greg, who will be the main speaker to introduce himself. And let's get started. Greg, one more practical thing. Can you start sharing your screen so the others can see the presentation?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to do that right now. Thank you, Thomas. There we go. So everyone can see my screen, right?
Yes, sir.
Cool. So, Thomas, thank you. Thanks, Marco. Marta, thank you very much as well. So as Thomas have mentioned, we're going to focus on the agenda today. Just go through a bit about us. That is me. That's my experience working in the blockchain space as well. Prior to that, I've worked with other companies before we founded CompTheTech. And that is Callisto and that is Yiri. So I'll probably want to give Callisto and Yiri a quick opportunity to introduce themselves as well.
Yeah, maybe I can take over. So basically, I'm one of the developers, let's say. So I will probably show you some demonstration of the software. We can discuss a little bit more deeper. And yeah, that's it.
Hi, this is Callisto on this side. I'm with Chemcore. So I'm the chief commercial officer that looks over the trading and distribution of mining chemicals into Africa.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. So let's move straight so quickly about CompTheTech. Our core services has been IT services and consulting, and we have the blockchain infrastructure, which is actually the blockchain platform. In addition to that, we have the marketplaces, which we're going to demo today, mainly the logistics marketplace, which with collaboration with Chemcore, we've built into production. Callisto and Yiri will go through that a bit later. What we're trying to show here is a complete suite of what we do, which means that we provide the infrastructure layer of the blockchain management. On top of that, we are actually leveraging Hyperledger Fabric for the blockchain framework. So on top of that blockchain framework, we have the different applications built on it. The applications is using what we call the CompTheCore. That is our blockchain template to enable us to quickly run the blockchain application. On top of those blockchain applications, that is where you have the different business processes, which we can call the marketplace business processes. So it's like a combination. It's a combination of industry best practices, which we work in collaboration with Chemcore, and are able to build that on top of the Hyperledger Fabric framework.
Good. And then, Ray, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
This is Tom. Just if you could give a short thought, you know, why'd you pick Hyperledger Fabric?
Why we picked Hyperledger? Is that Marco?
This is Tom, actually.
Okay, Tom. So I would pick Hyperledger Fabric. It's mainly because we it's because of the permission framework. Sorry, guys, I need to drink some water. It's because of the permission framework, and back then we were looking at different frameworks, which one we need to go with. But Hyperledger Fabric stood out of it. We didn't require to do any mining. And it was at that stage where you have different type of blockchain in the market. So you have the Ethereum, the private Ethereum and the public Ethereum, but Hyperledger Fabric made more sense for us in terms of the simplicity and the different participants, I mean, the different stakeholders that need to be part of the network. So it was also the framework that we were very familiar with, the framework that we think will make sense in this scenario. And it has to be in a permission environment as well. So there were multiple criteria which we looked at. At the end of the day, we made a decision to go with Hyperledger Fabric. It was also the most mashed framework, blockchain framework at that time.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome. Oyiri, you want to add to that as well?
Yeah. I think I totally agree. Basically, we did some evaluation and for our use case, it made sense to use Fabric.
Okay, thanks, Yuri. So as I said, the business process is one part of the issue, building a blockchain solution. Of course, you can build a marketplace using other technologies, but it's the ability to be able to build a proper blockchain solution and then properly run it in an infrastructure and in a production environment and be able to scale it. That is one huge challenge. These were really some of the challenges that we encounter. We looked at how can we overcome all these challenges. And that was why it was critical for us to also have that infrastructure. The infrastructure is a distribution of nodes that are being run by different customers in different clouds among multiple regions. So our infrastructure, the infrastructure platform is not just running on one cloud providers. We work with multiple cloud providers to ensure a truly decentralized blockchain environment. So that's just a quick overview of the complete suite of how we're able to deliver this blockchain solution to Chemcore and to the to that space as a whole. So so I mentioned earlier, we're gonna talk about the first logistic marketplace, which is what we're currently working with Chemcore. If you look at it, why are we using a marketplace? It's because with that marketplace, we can look at the best practices. We're talking to Chemco. We're talking to the customers that Chemco work with. We're talking to the different suppliers, and we're looking at what is the industry best practices. After looking at the industry best practices, we're able to take that, use blockchain smart contracts to automate that, and then make life really easier, be able to have different organizations communicate in real time, and then you can remove the frictions between the different organizations. What normally, I mean, Chemco will come to that at some stage, but if you, at the end of the presentation of Chemco, you can see how we've been able to use the best practices from talking with the different stakeholders and be able to build a proper marketplace and have a higher return on investment for the different stakeholders. So I will pass it quickly to Callisto and let Callisto kick on. Callisto, the floor is yours, man.
Thank you, Greg. Hi, guys. Just to introduce Chemco. So we are a mineral processing supplier of chemicals. So most of the chemicals are sourced from China, but in most cases also regionally within Africa. So we've got offices in China, Prague, South Africa, Zambia, and DRC, and eventually in Botswana. So we distribute chemicals to most of the copper cobalt assets in the DRC and Zambia. So mostly what happens is we bring in chemicals and, you know, through either Dar es Salaam port or Durban. So most of the chaos happens once the goods basically land and they need to be transported. So just to give you, in terms of scale, we deliver about 30,000 tons per year of chemicals. So that basically translates into arranging logistics with thousands of trucks on a monthly basis. So it becomes very difficult to manage those trucks, mostly because the movement of trucks is basically based on the flow of documentation from one agent to the other. As we cross different borders, we need to adhere to different regulations that are imposed by each country. So what happens then is, if let's say a document is not sent on time, then clearance won't happen. And if it doesn't happen, the transporter will charge you, let's say, $300 per day for waiting. And the other issue is that you now are late with your deliveries as well with your end user. So that is basically a very big challenge, or was a big challenge for us in the past. We came out and looked for a solution, and we got a recommendation to speak with Computec, and we developed a solution with them. So with the current solution, it basically allows us to have all the stakeholders within one platform. So we are able to sort of communicate and share information instantly. So in our case, when a driver loads, let's say at any point of entry at the port, as soon as he loads, he gets given a weighbridge ticket. So weighbridge ticket basically has the weight. So the weight determines the value of the goods or the cargo. So all the documents are basically based on the value of the cargo. So be it the duty or anything else that needs to happen is based on that. So our back office is immediately able to see the weighbridge. They can immediately generate all the commercial documents, and they can able to give permission to, let's say, the agent who needs to view and download the document to submit to the customs office, or the transporter as well that needs to print and have the drivers carry the hard copies of the documents as well. And also this solution also allows us to, once the truck arrives at the site or at the end user location, once the driver offloads, he can immediately take pictures of the proof of delivery, upload them, and the back office is also able to access that. And we use that for billing. So usually we would have to wait for the driver to come back let's say to our nearest office, which will be in Zambia. So that would be maybe 2-3 days later. And then we'll be able to bill after that, right? So that obviously affects our cash flow, you know, if we can't bill on time. And I think the most important part as well, which I didn't mention, was the tracking part. So obviously all the supply chain activities that happen, be it when do we pay for the duty, when do we book for the BV inspection if you're going to DRC, and everything else that is required. And little things like when do you give the driver the money for the trip? You know, that's also based on the actual position of the trucks. So being that we are able to use the module to track the trucks as well, that also helps in terms of you know, doing all these activities on time. Typically, what used to happen in the past was that every morning the transporter would send us, in case if it's not our trucks, a third-party transporter would send us a tracking sheet on an Excel. We manipulate it, you know, and then we send it to our client. The client then send it to their agent or their other stakeholders in their own supply chain, and they will do whatever they need to do with it. Now that we have sort of accuracy in terms of the truck position, things more or less happen on time, but obviously we're still human, right? So with the solution now, we are able to get the PODs on time, bill on time, and we have less, you know, expenses related to trucks waiting for documents or this and that. Because usually what would happen is that if a document is sent on email, so if you're dealing with maybe 20 trucks per day, it's possible that, you know, your email gets flooded very fast. And some of the agents might miss, like documents are called pre-alerts. So they might miss pre-alerts. And if they do miss, the truck doesn't get cleared as well. So now that's obviously been dealt with. So I guess the last part, or the sort of to summarize it, the solution makes it easier for us to bill on time and accurately. So accurately is very important as well, because there's always a bit of back and forth between the client and us as a supplier in terms of what the actual quantities delivered. So now with the document being shared between the parties, it's easier to do a reconciliation faster. And then finally, when it comes to supply chain finance, so in some of our deals, we engage, we get financing from a third party. The third party wants to see that the goods are moving. So they want to have visibility on that. So they're able to see that on the system. And on a day-to-day basis, they know how many tons are delivered. And they can also plan their cash flow. You know, they know when they will get paid as soon as the goods are delivered. In another case, we have a client who has a supply chain finance arrangement with the bank. So once we bill, they approve the invoice, they send it to finance, and finance sends to the bank. The bank then, you know, will ask Chemco if we are ready to receive payment now or at a later stage. Yeah, okay. So basically that's how we are using the solution at the moment. So we've been able to cut down on a lot of, obviously we don't need a lot of people to now manage all this legwork that we used to do. And in terms of accuracy, in terms of billing, and most importantly, we're able to bill faster, which obviously, you know, improves our cash flow. So I think that's, I've covered most of it.
Hey, Callisto?
Yes.
This is Tom, quick question for you. Yes. On the customs side, where you said previously it was paper and you had to show your docs and everything.
Yes.
Maybe you're going to show this in your demo. On the, how are you allowing them to get into this system? Do you give them a user ID and password, or it's the agent or the truck driver that's going to say, hey, here, let me show you a screen that everything's good?
So for customs, it's not currently hooked on, because they have a sort of a regional system called Asikuda. So, but the agent though is able to has access to the system that able to print out and submit the hard copies to the customers. I suppose at a much later stage, that's something that could be done, and seeing how that could be linked to the Asikuda system.
Okay, so basically the agent is the person who is
who interfaces with. Yeah, they interface with the customers. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Got it. Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah, maybe now I will show you the demo so that you actually see that the system exists. Greg, can I share a screen?
Yes, Yuri, you should go ahead just to add to that, guys. With the previous slide, what Yuri is also going to demo is the ability to easily invite the suppliers, the transporters, for normal the customs, the agent, and then the bank, the customer, and the supply chain into the blockchain network. So we will talk a bit later about governance and also how we do the due diligence, if there's enough time, and how, because the customers in this case, they are doing some of the KYC when inviting suppliers or agents into the platform. So if there's enough time, we can go into that. But what I want to stress out is the ability to give pure visibility to every parties that are involved in tracking that asset. Prior to that, every party, they're sending email back and forth. They're exporting data to an Excel from whichever system they're using, and then sending that Excel to a supplier or to an agent from an order. But with this scenario, it is really, it's become very useful to be able to give that visibility to everyone. So the part that Yuri is going to demo to you now would be the view for the supplier. And if you want to see more the view about how a customer or a bank or a supply chain or transporter interact with the system, that you can take that offline with us, so we can demo the other views to you guys. So Yuri, please go ahead.
Hey, quick question from Eric here. How are most of the partners interacting with the platform? Is it through a web portal or EDI or any other means?
Yes, it's through the platform, most partners. And then the truck drivers, they use a mobile phone. We have an app, a Google an Android app, and then an Apple app as well, which can be downloaded. If you go to the Play Store and the App Store, if you search for Computec Logistics, you can find it, and then you can download it, install it on your phone.
So the agents and the banks, they go into this portal and manually enter the information?
No, for the banks, we have integration with the systems that they are using. So with the customers, for instance, some are using SAP or some other ERP system. We have an integration, so it's a two-way.
Fantastic, great work.
Thank you. So Yuri, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Let me share the screen. I hope you can see it. So basically, when after you log in into the system, so you can, for example, use like Office 365 or Google accounts, depending what your organization is connected to or which accounts you have. And then basically the system is managing different things, different assets, let's say. and which is like purchase orders. And under purchase orders, there are the deliveries, which are basically the trucks or the goods that are moving in whatever. It can be ship, it can be a truck, airplane, whatever. Different routes, so you can define where your orders actually start, and you can define your points of interest. I will show it to you then on a map. And when the points of interest are hit, you can get notifications. Obviously, you have materials, trailers, trucks, drivers, whatever, and companies that are necessary to interact with the system. In terms of blockchain, it's actually for each of the customer, we have a different namespace and different channel, and we actually invite a different organization, if it's different organization than us, or the user that is currently logged in, we are able to invite a different organization, like let's say a bank or agent or a transporter, right? Whoever needs to view the details. And obviously, if you are just inviting your colleague that is an invite for a user, they will basically just get an email and the invitation flow gets processed. For the most interesting, I don't have much time, but the most interesting part is probably inside of the delivery itself. So for example, this truck is actually in transfer now, and you can actually see what documents he uploaded. So basically what happens here is that as the driver has the iOS application, let's say, and he goes to the weight, for example, with the truck, and he will get the document. He will just take a picture, and he will manually upload it here through the mobile application, so that it's visible to basically all the parties that are necessary to see it. There are different roles in the system. So if you are a transporter, you get to see different documents that are only necessary for you. If you are, customer, you also see a subset of the documents. So basically it's based on the role, what you can see. And when the documents are signed, you can also see it here, and you can the system can automatically generate the invoices and send it to the customer. Basically, the tracking is done here. So if you can see here where the truck currently is, you can see the path where he was coming from, he started, and this is where he currently is. And you can also define different points of interest for this, for the road. So for example, when he's hitting, for example, some borders, or let's say 100 kilometers before the borders, we can send alerts to the agent so that they can get ready, or they get information about, basically they get alert that some truck is coming and they should, for example, take the papers from the driver and things like this. So this is basically the automation that is done. Obviously, then it looks, for example, we have some points of interest defined. This truck is not yet on a road, but for this truck, it's important to define some point of interest. So we have it here specified. And as you can see, when the driver is actually hitting with the mobile application, some range of this point, we are actually checking that he's hitting this point of interest, and we are acting upon it. So I think we don't have much time, but this is just a brief introduction of the system. Obviously, one more point that Greg already said, I think, that each of the parties, so for example, if we are satisfying customer A, let's say, each of the parties that are invited and have access to the system can see what they have rights to see, right? So it's basically system for transparent system for all of them, and also if there is some dispute or something at the end of the road, it's also clearly visible what has been done. The tracking is also saved in the Hyperledger fabric in the ledger, so let's say it's a single source of proof as well for so that nobody can actually spoof.
Disputes.
Dispute the track information and things like this. So maybe I will hand it over to you, Greg.
Yes, Yuri, thanks.
Can I ask you a quick question here?
Okay.
This might be for Callisto, but it's along what you were just talking about, Yuri. Callisto, how hard was it to get some of these folks to buy in that this solution was better than paper and they should pay a bill based on the system?
Well, it's not really difficult to convince.
Okay, because they get paid faster, is that why?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, yes, on my side as a supplier, right? As a trader, because I deliver goods, right? But the final end user, because these guys are running mines and are 24/7 operations. So it's critical for them to receive the reagents as and when they need them, right? And I think as you saw on the map, it's almost a 3,000 kilometer journey from South Africa, Durban to Kolwezi, to DRC, right? And if you're talking about, let's say, for example, the guys that mine cobalt, right? So, you know, the price of cobalt is like, what, $30,000 per ton. So every day that you're not producing, you know, it can run into millions of dollars, right? So it's important for them that this stuff arrives on time. So that means it must be well managed in case of, in terms of, the biggest challenge is the documentation flow. So the documents have to be provided on time, especially when it comes to the Congolese border. That's where you sometimes, the worst times, you can have a 75 kilometer line.
How long?
75 kilometers.
Wow.
Yes.
That's like all 20 miles, over 20 miles.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the worst part is that on the Zambian side, they work 24/7. On the DRC side, they do 9 to 5.
That's closer to 50 miles.
Yes.
Yeah. 35 kilometers?
No, 75 kilometers.
Oh, 75. Oh, 75. Okay, I heard 35.
Oh, okay, 75. Yeah. 75, yes. But that's like the worst times. So every day another tracking company that provides data on the waiting times at all the borders. The minimum waiting, I would say, is 18 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, what we did was to have some IoT device on the trucks, so we can track the trucks in real time. So the monitor, the tracking device in the truck is popping the data right into the blockchain, giving us a real time location of the truck, and the customer can be able to plan their demand properly. Right, having that data, because they need to have that data in their ERP system. So in this case, they're getting that data in real time, while previously they're sending an Excel to the different suppliers and asking the suppliers to send back the Excel once a day, and then they import the Excel back to the ERP system. But with this, they don't have to go through that anymore. So Callisto Chemco was the main driver behind this, and he was the one talking to the different stakeholders. So I was a bit surprised how many customers we were able to get on board, because there was actually nothing like that over there before we started this. So it was no brainer to to get the different stakeholders on board. We started with a pilot. We were able to demo it to show the real value. Once the customer have the value, then they can expand it to the other network, which they have, and be able to invite the other suppliers into the network.
So how many partners or parties are involved on the platform right now?
The customers that we currently work with, because the customer is the key. Yeah? Currently, we have about 5 customers. These are the major big players over there. And those customers, one customer, we have up to about 50 to 70 suppliers. But some of those suppliers, they will work with multiple customers. So in general, if you think about the agents and then the customers, the suppliers, you're looking at roughly around 350 organizations. That is different companies that is part of the network.
That's fantastic.
And the key part here is the ability to be able to let the money flow through the platform, right? That was crucial. So we see the money flowing through the platform in real time and be able to kind of make some commission out of that. But that is a talk for another day. I think it was last year around April, we, in terms of standards, like the transportation standards, we had a call with the guys from Beta. I don't know if anybody from Beta is on this call. Is anybody from Beta here? Okay.
I don't see anybody today.
So we had a call with the guys from Beta. We were speaking to Patrick Duffy. So we kind of demoed the solution to them, so they can give us some sort of feedback to make sure that we are in line with the right standards in transport. And if we are not doing it in the right way, if they can kind of help us to give us the right direction, so we are in line with the industry standards as well. So after speaking to Patrick, he confirmed to us that, guys, we are on the right path. We should keep on doing what we're doing. And at some point, we should come back to them because they were getting more people on board. I don't remember Callisto how he ended it, but in general, he kind of confirmed to us, he validated what we're doing, and he confirmed that we are the standards we have implemented is in line with the Beta standards as well. So I think we can move further to, let me just share my screen again. We can move further to how the solution was built. Yeah, the infrastructure that actually runs it, because that is one of our key strength, the ability to build such a solution and then be able to run it in an infrastructure and be able to scale it in a decentralized environment. So that is the part I'm going to pass to Yiri again. I'm not going to talk about the other solution we were looking at presenting, and I will just focus on this blockchain infrastructure to show you a bit more technical. It's technical, but this will give you some idea on the infrastructure that is actually powering this marketplace. So I will pass it to Yiri. Yiri.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Basically, we have different applications, right? Not only the supply chain one, but we have like also for ticketing and contracts and stuff like this. But actually, all this, all the ecosystem is actually running on top of. Since we are talking about Hyperledger Fabric, right? I want to focus on the platform that we have underneath, because as we were trying to actually. As we were trying to, let me share the screen first. As we were trying to actually do some development of applications, we found out that we have to manage it. We have to manage the ledger and the resources, and basically it took us some time to prepare the infrastructure, right? And then we came up with let's say a SaaS software as a service platform, which anybody can use for writing their own applications if they are interested in writing blockchain applications. And this is how the platform is actually done. Or maybe this is the whole ecosystem. The platform is actually at the bottom. There is the infrastructure layer, but I want to show you actually I want to talk a little bit and show you how it actually runs so that you have some understanding also what is underneath the application on the blockchain layer. And then we have, so this is the whole ecosystem, and the platform is the base. And then we have a smart contract or chain code section, basically. So that's a layer for chain code, which we have some reusable library. And then on top of that reusable library, we basically code some specific requirements for the project, or for the application. But it's very efficient on the smart contract layer to actually, because we are already starting with some library that is suited for Fabric. Then we have the REST or API layer, basically. We use some configuration management there, and we basically expose the APIs. Again, we have layers for some reusable libraries and some project-specific logic as well. And then on top of it, we provide some orchestration layer, which is actually handling like the invites to the blockchain networks, accepting, signing the transactions when you are accepting the invitation, things like this. Or also spinning up, the orchestration layer also spins up the new channels, new networks. So for example, when you have new customer, for your, let's say, for your supply chain business, you basically want to spin up new tenant, new namespace, so that only this namespace is actually visible, and it's totally separated. Nobody else can see it. Only the invited parties, right? So this is this orchestration is actually handled automatically on the orchestration layer. And then obviously there is the UI layer for users to be able to use it through browser, right? Through laptops, right? Whatever, computers or mobile phones or tablets, whatever. So this is basically like the ecosystem that we developed, and we keep on developing on top of it. And about the platform, it's actually, let's say, it's a blockchain as a service, and it's managing all your blockchain resources. I want to show you actually the how it's done. So basically, it's for anybody. Anybody can actually start using the blockchain networks and manage it and have it managed. Actually, let's say it's a managed service. So that you don't, because normally if you want to run something on the fabric, it means that you have to do a lot of manual things. You, let's say, have to run some containers in Docker. You have to, let's say, on your servers, right? So you have to maintain your servers. You have to generate some certificates, keys. You have to maintain that. And so on. Then upgrades, you have to maintain all the life cycle. So it's a lot of manual steps. And I'm not even saying about accepting different organizations into the channel, which is, let's say, quite hell without any automation. So for this, we actually had to, for original for ourselves, but then we actually released it to the public. You can, if you want to try it, you can go ahead and try it for free on platform.computer.com as well. there's some free tier as well. And how it works is basically you have like dashboards where you can see how many peers you have, how many ordering clusters you have, what is the status for them. You can see what is the topology, what are the channels that we are running, applications, peers, ordering services, stuff like this. In our case, we have one ordering service because it's a clustered. I believe there is five orders clustered in one ordering service. So it's highly scalable. And you can obviously manage your resources. So let's say you want to create like new peer. This is how easily you would basically create a peer. You would just define the location, for example, Belgium, US, East, whatever, wherever you want to run it. And then you would define the size and the resources. This this is actually the peer is where the data is stored, right? So in the blockchain. So for example, if I store some tracking data from the supply chain application, it will go. The transactions will be signed. It will go to some endpoints, and it will be stored eventually in this database, which is called ledger in the case of blockchain. And it will be stored on these peers that we can currently create, right? We have some here. Ordering services, that is the same. It's basically as easy as this. You can create them as well. And you can very easily manage, like you can see the logs coming from them, what is happening there. You can see their transactions. There's some information that you can see there are some transactions already coming. This, and also you can define like the configuration size. You can edit it, you can upgrade it like this. If a new Fabric version is released, this is how you do it. We currently have 1.49 here, but we just finished last week version 2.3. So we will actually also have it here as well. I don't know if it's too technical. Maybe I should just go ahead and tell you a little bit more high level. So this is how you, the channels is how you create. Basically, this is the channel. So if I want to create new channel, this is actually what it's done behind the scenes, that it calls the APIs of the platform and creates new channel. And the channel is like the blockchain network. You can actually invite all your other organizations into this, like this. You just type in the email and they will get email notification. They can accept the invitation. For your developers, you can download SDK, stuff like this. You have like overview of what smart contracts are running. And if you have some configuration updates for the channels, you can actually manage it here and sign it here. I don't have anything here now yet, but you can actually deal it with here. You can manage your smart contracts here. So smart contract is the code that is actually running on your peers, or this is the blockchain application, let's say. And this is how you upload your code, let's say. And you can manage the versioning. These are all the versions that are currently deployed. We also allow you to, so that you don't have to manage the keys yourselves. You can manage it. We also provide it. You can sign it in browsers, the transactions, so that it's signed on your site. But we also manage like identities for you, so that the certificates and keys are actually or the transactions are actually signed in transit as you send a request. It will be signed by your key and then sent to the peers for storing the data. And this is some monitoring. You can see what is the CPU usage. You can also see some RAM usage on all of your peers or orders, storage, new transactions that are currently invoked, new blocks committed, all these things you can see. Basically the same thing is for orders. So So this is like the infrastructure below that is running for that is running behind the scenes of what the user sees actually here. As I showed you, for example, the supply chain application. The supply chain application is at the end of the day, actually, all these requests, like if I want to edit something, for example, right, or something like this, it's actually calling this infrastructure, this platform that is running below. And yeah, and this is basically the infrastructure that is necessary on the blockchain layer, since we are talking about Hyperledger Fabric here.
Thank you very much, Yuri. So guys, you see how we able to build the tooling around the Hyperledger Fabric. So Hyperledger Fabric is like one of our strength and our ability to be able to build different applications on Hyperledger Fabric is great, right? We love it and really hope we can keep on helping the community and educating the audience on how cool Hyperledger Fabric is and how they can really leverage the potential of Fabric. So I think that is it for today. Thanks a lot. So maybe we can move into the Q&A session.
Thanks, everyone. Yep, we only have 2 minutes left for any questions, but otherwise we can wrap it up and then folks can reach out to you directly for more information. All right, well, since...
This is Praveen here. So I have a question for the presenter. So he mentioned they have developed some libraries for the easier development of smart contracts and chain code, right? So are they open sourced or are they within the organization?
We have open sourced some. We have open sourced like management of the peers and orders or the fabric, the infrastructure layer. We wrote Hyperledger Kubernetes operator. So that is open sourced. And for the libraries, we were thinking about it. We might release it, but we haven't done it yet because we also wanted to, this is like latest discussion. We have been going back and forth and we wanted to actually, we will probably open source it, but we wanted to do like a little bit more refactoring so that we make it a little bit more nicer and some documentation as well, right? So I don't know what is your use case. If you would be interested, maybe we can, we can have a discussion around this as well.
Yeah, sure. So basically, when I want to build a use case for supply chain as well, but then when I search for some resources, it's very difficult to find a structure for developing the contracts. Whether for example, do we create a separate contract for purchase order? Do we create a separate contract for delivery? So there is no proper documentation anywhere. That's why I asked. Thank you.
Yeah. We also provide some consulting or help, right? Partners or if you are interested as well, maybe we can have like a concrete discussion some other day around this. It can help you get started or something if you need.
Thank you. I'll check with you.
All right, we're out of time. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to CompTech directly. And that being said, thanks everyone. Thanks CompTech for your presentation and have a good day.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.